Amen. All right. Well, we have the promise. There were two or three that gathered together in His name. He said He'd be there with us, so we're here. I apologize, Brother Don, earlier for just a small group, but we've got two teams. One just got back from Mexico, but part of them are here. Some of them are not. The other team's still down in Mexico. And people are doing different things, but He said He's used preaching one, so I feel good. We got more than one. We got more than one. But most of you know Brother Don. We're very, very happy to have Brother Don. And Brother Mike Martinez brought him up from Lafayette. Brother Mike's and Brother Francis Martin's church in Lafayette. Glad to have them. Brother Don, we've been old friends for a long time. Brother Don is the overseer of an organization that he actually started in Honduras. And every time I think I've got the correct number on the churches that he has, he lets me know that it's different. Because I told you, I thought he had 90 churches. He has 110 churches down there now. So it's really growing. But Brother Don, sweet brother-in-law, we love him so much. And Brother Don, we're just going to ask you to come share with us whatever's on your heart. So would you say God bless Brother Don?
Hello, everybody. Okay, since you are just returning from Mexico, I suppose you speak Spanish. Andele. So glad to be here. Sometimes I don't even know what day it is. I lose track of it. I'm so glad to be here again after 3 years, brother. Time flies. Yeah. 2001 I was here. 2, 3, and 4, yeah. And I'm so glad to be here again. How you all been? Okay? I've been here for a little over 2 weeks. And have been in this area visiting some churches, my friends. I have a lot of church friends here, pastor and churches. And I rejoice being here. And I'm on my way to Tennessee to see my family. The Lord is helping us in Honduras in spite of bad things that are happening, because today is worse than it was before. And that's biblical, isn't it? The worse will be worse and worse, the Lord said. And a lot of drug and crime. Very often find the head of a man or a woman on the square or streets in a black bag or so. One arm here, no arm somewhere else, and killing people just for fun. Last year we lost one of our dearest brothers in the church. He just came from work. He worked all through the night, and he just came, and he was standing with another friend right there in the corner, and some crazy guys on a pickup, they was shooting and shot him right on his forehead and kill him. They are killing people just for fun. They are thirsty for blood. But in spite of those things, the Lord is moving in a mighty way. Now I have these 110 churches, most of them on the mountains. And bumpy, dusty roads up to the mountains. And last Saturday, one of my daughters called me and said that 18 people have been saved on the mountain there while I'm here. So my church, Bethsaida Church, is always going on Saturdays to preach the word. And they always bring good reports. Most of the time I'm on the mountains, and because the church requires my presence in all these places, and plus opening new churches, establishing new churches, and we are believing for more and more. I'm not satisfied with this. No, it is not easy to deal with people, but it is a blessing at the same time. So, God is good, and I'm so glad to be here again. Thank you, brother, for this opportunity to be with you people here. Do you have your Bibles by chance? Okay. Did you bring yours or his? Oh, he got his. Okay. In my church, I asked, where are your Bibles? So the lady, this is mine. The husband said, no, that's mine. And I say, every person has his Bible. Hallelujah. Last week, it was Easter week, what you call here Easter week. In my country, they call it Holy Week. But that's not true. It's the most filthy, dirty week during the year. People go to the beach and do all kind of sins there, because they have all week off, and they drink a lot, and they have drugs and everything. They don't even know what it is all about, and they call it Holy Week. And I tell the people, we don't believe in Holy Week. We believe in Holy Year. Amen. Because we believe holy all through the year. Amen. And it was on this time that Jesus died. And it was for you and for me. Let's read James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm speaking about offering this morning, tonight. Not about money. We are tired about that, huh? About talking about offering. Once Mr. $1 met Mr. $100 they met, and Mr. $1 asked Mr. $100, how you been? And he said, well, great. I spend my life on big hotels, casinos, race horses, and all these kind of big things in the world. So Mr. $100 asked Mr. $1, and what about you? And he said, well, all my time, I spend all my time in church. But I'm not going to speak about that, about money. I'm going to speak about another kind of offering. James 1:17. This is beautiful. Good gift and every perfect gift is from where? From above. From above. Comes down from the Father of lights. Every good thing that we have comes from God. Satan never gives a good thing. He's always giving bad things like headache, stomachache, fevers, sadness, all kind of bad things. But God give us good things to start with, our salvation plus our wives, because the Bible said that he who found a wife found what? A good thing. And what? That's why. That's what we men say. And what about women? What they do? They say. they go. And then we have children. We have grandchildren. We have friends. We have good health. And we have everything that comes from God. So, the Bible said that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from God. Isn't our God good? He's a great God. There's a verse in the Bible that said that God is great and He doesn't despise anybody. Rich people in my country, they despise poor people. They reject poor people. They mistreat poor people. But the Bible said that God is great and He doesn't despise anybody. What a God we have. Amen. Did you know that? Now, let's read now John, St. John chapter 10. Are you following me? Amen. All right. Don't lose my tracks. John chapter 10. And verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and what? I lay down my life for who? Us. He laid his life. He gave it. That's a good gift. Jesus' life. What a gift. What a gift. Verse 17, therefore thus my Father loves me, because what? I lay down my life. He repeats that. Verse 18, no man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. That's love. Amen. Some people say, look at how they killed Jesus. He said, nobody takes my life away. I give it. I lay down my life. That's love. Amen. It was not easy for him. But he said, nobody's killing me. Nobody's taking my life. I am giving my life for you. What a gift. Now, Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. You have it? Just three words here. Three words. Who gave what? Himself. Who gave himself? He gave himself freely. Nobody compelled him. Freely. For all kind. For God, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. You and me. Because God is not a respecter of persons. When he says he loved the world, he means black, white, beautiful something, brown like mine, green, yellow. And somebody said, are there any green people in Honduras? Yes, yes. Who are those? Those that have malaria. Jesus died for poor and rich, men and women, wise and foolish, because that's His love. He's not a respecter of people. And whosoever may come. Now it depends on you, you want this gift or not. I tell the people, there's the gift. Take it or leave it. Because that's what happened with me. Next week, on Friday the 16th, somebody said, there's the gift. Take it or leave it. If you leave it, another smarter than you will take it. And I said, I don't want any smarter. I'll take it. And that's 54 years ago.
Amen. All right,
brother. I was saved. You know, there are dates that we cannot forget. And that's one, that's my date. April 16, Sunday, at 9 o'clock in the evening. Take it or leave it. If you don't take it, a smarter one will take it. And you will have nothing. So I said, I don't want anybody be smarter than I am. So I took that gift. That gift is Jesus. And I tell you people, from then, I'm the happiest man in this world.
Amen.
If I have money, I'm happy. If I don't, I'm happy. If I'm starving, I'm happy. If I'm eating a big juicy steak, I'm happy. Who knows? Who not? Why? Because that's the gift that God has given us. Take it or leave it. But somebody is behind you and will take it. Now, let's open your Bibles in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. This is a study that I like to teach in my church. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners. That's the kind of Savior that we needed. Holy, harmless. Have you ever read in the Bible that Jesus sometime hurt somebody? Have you ever read in the Bible that Jesus harmed somebody? Never. Never. And that's why He was harmless. He came to this world to do good, not to harm, not to hurt. He was friend, sinner's friend. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners. He used to be with sinners, but He never did what sinners did. That's amazing, huh? He was always among sinners. But He never did what they were doing because He was holy.
Amen.
Holy. The Holy Son of God. Verse 27. Who kneels not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For these he did once, when he offered up himself. When he offered himself. Here I am, offering himself. The priests in Old Testament, they were always doing sacrifices. But Jesus, it was only once, and that's it. Period. That was all. That was enough. His life, his own life, he gave himself. He offered himself. Here I am, offering himself. And then, in Hebrews, the same book, we read that Jesus was spotless, no stain in his life, spotless. In the Old Testament, we read in Exodus chapter 12, when every family had to slain a lamb, this lamb had to be perfect. And in order to find out if it was perfect, they searched all over the body of this lamb. His tongue, eyes, ears, hooves, all over had to be perfect. This lamb was pointing out Jesus. Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God. No stain in his life. No spot in his life. In such a way that even his enemies could not find anything to say about him. Even his enemies were praising him because what he was, the spotless Son of God. Now let's read in the same book, chapter 9 and verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered, how many times? In once unto the holy place. The rest of the verse, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He redeemed us. When we receive Jesus first time, how long shall we wait to be sure that we are saved? Immediately. By faith. We don't have to wait a week, a month. Let's see if I feel better. It is not by feeling. It is by faith. And if you are sincere, immediately you are saved. Redeemed. Because we were bought at a price. And what a price. His holy blood. Now, verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, that was only for the flesh. The blood of bulls, oxen, goats. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself. You notice we have been reading several verses and is saying the same thing, offering himself, giving his life. Nobody takes my life. I lay my life. I give my life. Nobody is compelling me. I am giving my life. Hallelujah. In chapter 9 and verse 25. 9:25. For yet that he should offer himself often. As the high priest enters into the holy place every year with blood of others. I mean, bulls, goats, other animals. Verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. By his sacrifice, his sacrifice, he put away sin. When we receive Jesus, our Savior, sin is gone away. Amen. Sin disappears by that great sacrifice of Jesus. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered. He offered himself once forever. He didn't have to do it several times, many times. And we read now in chapter 10 and verse 3, chapter 10. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. The high priest had to pray for the people every year. But before that, he had to pray for himself and his family, and then pray for the people. He was a weak man. He was a man. He was flesh. But Jesus didn't have to do that. Once for all, and that's it. Amen. He doesn't have to die every year. It was enough to die once and that's it. He came to do that. That was God's plan of salvation for sinners. Verse 28. So Christ was once offered. In chapter 10 and verse 10, and verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, because of his body, his blood, everything it was given to us. Not just a little bit, but everything. That's the whole gift was given to us. Offered. He gave his life. Praise God. And He shed his blood. Praise God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. What will we do if we don't have the blood of Jesus? The Bible says in Jeremiah, if you pile soap or nitro upon you, no matter what kind of soap you want to use to clean your heart from sin, Tide, come on. Cheer, Dove,
Irish,
whatever, use whatever you want to. The Bible said that still, the sin is there. The stain is there. The stigma of sin is there. But the Bible said that we were cleansed, washed, all our sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Said that not by with gold or silver, precious stones, but by the blood of Jesus. He shed his blood. He gave. You know, blood is the life. Blood is the life of a person, of an animal. And when Jesus shed his blood, he was shedding his life for us. Isn't that great? And it's such a fountain that will never get dry. It is forever. Let me ask you, after you were saved, have you sinned again? Have you? At least I find sincere people. What do you do? You stay there with your sin? You go to the fountain again. And that fountain will never dry.
Amen.
It's forever. And what a gift. What an offering. The Bible said, thanks God. Paul wrote, thanks God for the unspeakable gift. The English, the Spanish word is ineffable. Something that you cannot explain. How could we explain our salvation? We cannot. It is us that have that we know what we have. We try to explain the people about Jesus. We tell the people in our own words about Jesus. Come on, receive Jesus. You will be happy. You will have the glory of God. Come on. But until people come and experience what we are saying, they will know what is salvation about. You may hear about salvation, but you don't experience salvation. Salvation, you don't know what it is all about this. Before I was Christian, I was taught that I had to do this and the other things. That's why I did so many things. But when I came to Jesus, I received Jesus, and all I had to do was to believe. And Satan came and said to me, can you believe that? That salvation is so easy. You have to do something. And as a young Christian, I was confused. Because there, I was taught, you have to do something. But now I say, you have to do nothing but believe. And then Satan came to my mind. That's an easy way of being saved. You have to do something. You know, it is when we are young, that's the time Satan is always bothering us. But when we are growing in the things of God, then we know that it is enough to believe and to receive the life of Jesus. I have come, the Bible says, Jesus said, the thief comes to what? Kill, destroy, harm. But I have come to what? To give life. And got life abundantly. Not just a little life, but a lot of life. A lot of life. That life that you have and you can share with somebody else. And still you have. Because that's the love of Jesus. What an offering. What a gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Forever. And that will be great. Our minds are so narrow that in fact we cannot imagine what it will be when we are there. Why don't you go and come back and tell me? But we know by faith what it will be all about, because Jesus gave His life. And He said, wherever I am, that you that you will be with me there. And Christians, and here in this world, on this earth, when we realize the presence of God, always say, it is a heaven here. It is just a little piece of heaven here. It is a little piece of glory here. When you realize the presence of God, when you are worshiping the Lord or praying, and you really get into the presence of God, and what about when we are there? That will be great, people. So keep on tracking.
Amen.
God bless you.
All right.